We'll begin. Today we turn to the ancient Christmas prophecy, Isaiah 7, verse 14. The Lord Himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. We expect that whatever happens on a daily basis will be according to the laws of nature. For example, the weather pattern of late can be explained by El Niño. The devices we use follow a technological science. One could even think of the birth of a child, births taking place in hospitals here in this country. These things, more or less, happen in a predictable way according to explanations from logic, science, or medicine. We don't expect the miraculous to happen right before our eyes. That doesn't mean, however, that we don't depend on miracles. If nothing else, we depend on the miracles of the past. We depend on the miracle of Christmas, that one-of-a-kind event foretold, the virgin birth of the Messiah. Through that miracle, God did as He promised. God became one of us in order to be with us forever. The virgin birth of Jesus in Jerusalem should not have been a surprise to people who understood the Bible rightly, even if it was strictly the Old Testament. For example, His birthplace was foretold in these words from Micah 5. You, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. We heard the virgin birth prophecy of Isaiah 7, which Matthew has tied to Jesus and His mother in these words. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call His name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Now that's rather unique, wouldn't you say? In the virgin birth prophecy, God kept an ancient promise. We shouldn't gloss over what that means. For one thing, it tells you, it's evidence of God being faithful. When He promises to do something, He follows through. He really does it. Already in the Garden of Eden, after the fall into sin, God made the original promise of a Savior, which expanded into many prophecies spoken to different people at different times. These prophecies became more and more specific, revealing some identifying characteristic that Jesus would have, or something astounding that He would do, or something surprising, unexpected, that He would experience. In the virgin birth prophecy fulfilled, we have more than one miracle at work. There is also the miracle of ancient prophecies coming true. Again, let's not gloss over what that means. After all, how could the Old Testament forecast these events happening much later in the time of the New Testament, if the Bible was just another book, as some people want to say? It has to be more than that. Much more. How could Jesus fulfill the messianic prophecies, including the virgin birth of Himself, if He were just a man like everyone else? He has to be more than that. Mere humans can't do the miraculous, especially on that grand of a scale. Only God is capable of such masterful planning and control. Isaiah talked about this prophecy as a sign from the Lord Himself. It's a sign of His direct involvement, like a footprint telling us that He was there with His power. This came from Him according to His plan. This was His doing by His power. This is trustworthy according to His faithful word. What God had foretold through Isaiah, He at a later time would announce to Mary. He sent the angel who said, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God." Mary's baby would be the only holy child ever born, because the conception would happen in a miraculous way. No human father involved, and, very importantly, no sinful nature in the child as a result. We don't know the exact details. The Bible doesn't tell us, but we do know the main reason why. In order to carry away the sins of the world and bring us life instead of death, the Savior would have to be quite different than us. He would need to be sinless in every aspect, morally perfect in heart and mind, fully able to fight off every temptation and live the perfect life required of us, and doing so for us, in our place. In the virgin birth, we have more than a perfect child with great potential. We have the Lord God becoming one of us. It does defy our comprehension on several levels. "How can this be?" Mary said. We say it too. Just think, right there in the manger, truly was the Almighty Lord, ever capable of doing the miraculous. And at the same time, He was a helpless infant who needed the care of His mother, the protection of His stepfather, even, on occasion, the divine intervention of the Heavenly Father. Right there in the manger was the One who never had a beginning because He's eternal. But at the same time, He did have a beginning through His own human birth. Let's go back once more to Isaiah 7 and look at that last word, Emmanuel. To this day, Jesus continues to be our Emmanuel. God with us. That is our current reality and also our future hope. Though He is no longer visible here as He once was, He is still with us in the word that He gave, keeping this promise for you and me. "Where two or three are gathered together in My name, there am I in the midst of them." Even if we are by ourselves, He is still with us in our hearts by faith. With us until that day He comes back to bring us home. During the season of Advent, looking ahead to our celebration of Christmas, and also with focus on His second coming, let's trust the miracle. Christ has been born of a virgin, as God promised. Let's also treasure the Emmanuel, God with us, in the hidden way, through word and sacrament, and in that relationship we have with Him by faith, as we await the visible Emmanuel. Yes, the miracle that we're going to see when He gives us the heavenly upgrade, His people with Him in glory forever. Amen. We close our worship today singing stanzas 1 and 3 of Hymn 99. hymn 99, stanzas 1 and 3.